We get things underway by welcoming into the program the host of The Gresh Show, Sundays on CBS Sports Radio. He is also, well, I'm just reading from his Twitter bio here. He is a commercial star, radio free agent, man about town, Andy Gresh. Gresh, hello.
You could have just said loser. That would have worked.
No. I know much better than that. Takes a big man to walk away from a job knowing that others out there in the sports media world will come crawling to his doorstep.
Yeah, maybe. Or I just got so ticked off and said, you know, to hell with it and I'm not taking it anymore. So, you know, hey, listen, you know, no one has walked out of more jobs through just being brazen and gutty than Rich Kimball. So please, you know, let's not act like you haven't done the march out before. You know, you're like Costanza. You got fired at Dairy Queen for sticking your feet in the top of the cooler.
Had anybody told me that was wrong, then clearly I would have not done that.
I didn't know that was frowned upon here at Penske, I think it was. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good to be talking to you, and it's awesome that Tom Brady is in the Super Bowl. I love it.
That is awesome, absolutely. And this quarterback matchup is great. You've got the veteran. You've got the young guy with a Super Bowl title under his belt already. But is this game really going to be about the quarterbacks?
Oh, no, Rich. And I'm glad you said that because no one is talking about Tampa defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, who in his own right, he was a failed head coach, but he was with the Jets. So it's almost like you get a mulligan because that organization is such a mess. But as a defensive coordinator, he's as good as it gets. And when you think about the ability to match up against Kansas City, you got to have guys who can cover or at least stay at home on the back end, and you got to have pass rushers. And when you look at the style of pass rush that Tampa Bay has adopted, yeah, in long third down and distance situations, they're just turning those defensive ends loose. But they got two big guys in the middle in Sue and Vita Vea. And when you think about escapability in the pocket, it's normally up the middle. Those are two big beefers who have the ability to hold the middle against Mahomes. His tendency is to float backwards. That's bad against big-time pass rushers, as he saw at times in the AFC Championship game. So I think the defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo, on the other side are huge. But I look at that Tampa pass rush, Rich, and I'm really sketchy and wondering if the tackles are going to hold up against those speed rushers of Tampa Bay.
Now, Mahomes, very dangerous in that run-pass option. What's his read? What's he looking for when he makes the decision?
Well, I think for him, Rich, it's much more. He's looking to pass first and run second. So I think for Tampa, there's going to have to be a little bit of disguise in coverage. They've got to get the quick pressure on him. But I wonder if Kansas City, if they can't really run the ball, I wonder if they're going to adapt to that short passing game and try to take advantage of, you know, Mecole Hardman running those jet sweeps and things of that nature. So I don't think the zone read game is going to very much be in play with Patrick Mahomes until you get into the goal-to-go situations, because then you can really take advantage of some tendencies there. I don't think the kid wants to run, quite honestly. But if those two big boys in the middle for Tampa can hem him in, he may not have a ton of avenues to be able to run the ball.
Now, what do you do when you got guys out there like Kelce and Hill? Do you just say they're going to get their catches, or do you try to shut one of them down or at least contain them?
I think, Rich, the key is really the physicality across the board and how selective you are in being physical against those guys. You know, well, I mean, what does Bill Belichick always turn to when he has the personnel against a team that is fast? You try to hit them as many times as you can near the line of scrimmage or in that 5-yard area. So there's different ways to try to disrupt the timing, and that's the way I would go about it. Now, look, Kelce's a big boy. You're going to get a matchup of him on a corner or a safety every once in a while to where physically he is going to be able to win. I think you got to mix it up and try to be selectively aggressive, but yet have somebody back deep to make sure that they don't hurt you, and that's really tough. I think the rookie Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to have a lot of pressure on him in this game, not only in terms of keeping that eye discipline, but they're going to ask him to cover some people at times, and that young rookie is going to have to step up to the challenge.
We're talking with Andy Gresh here on Downtown. You know, we love Spags around here. Steve Spagnuolo, a former Maine Black Bear assistant. What do you think he does? Is he going to be in too deep? Because that's a type of coverage that Brady has struggled with at times this year.
Yeah, I think so. And look, a lot of it with Spags and his success against Brady, at least in the past, has really been connected to pass rush. And, you know, it's easy to look at that Giants front. Okay, there's a couple of Hall of Famers in there and some guys that are pretty dadgum close. How does he generate pressure, and how does Kansas City do it without jeopardizing being able to cover what is a pretty good group of offensive weapons? You know, I know that everybody is bedazzled by all the speed in Kansas City and all the different options, but Rich, look at it this way. There have been times where the Patriots have put much lesser wide receivers on the field with Rob Gronkowski than what Tampa's going to do. I mean, if the standard three wide receiver set is going to be Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans, and then you're going to mix in Brate and Gronkowski, Scotty Miller in there as well, and oh, by the way, whenever they block, Len Fournette is as powerful and as fresh a runner as there is right now, I think, in the NFL. I don't think we're talking enough about Kansas City being able to stop people. And you know what, Rich? You've been around a long time, and so have I, and I've watched a lot of Tampa football this year. They haven't busted open the plays for Gronkowski, and I think this is the matchup, and this is the moment where they only need five catches, really, for Brady and Gronk to be able to make a big impact on this game. And I think this is going to be that, you know, God dang it, that Brady, we thought he's going to these wide receivers, and the whole time, it was Gronkowski on a matchup that he knew he had. I think we're going to see that in key spots in this Super Bowl.
And Fournette has played well in the postseason. They don't run a lot, but they've been very effective in running in short yardage situations. Does that make it imperative that Kansas City's defense stops them on first down, gets them in those third and long instead of third and 2-3?
Yeah, you know what, Rich? And you nailed it. I think first down is where the real chess game is. How do you get those chunks in play action? How do you add in different things to the running game to be able to take an existing look that you already have, which might just be a simple off-tackle play, but can I add some motion to it? Can I run it out of a different formation? You know, maybe that's where you put two tight ends on the field and you're dropping one back as a fullback to be able to give different kinds of looks. And I think not only with the defensive coordinators, but the personnel with the offensive coordinators as well. And that's where I think Brady has at least a little bit of an advantage here, only, Rich, for this reason, is that he'll know what he needs or thinks he needs to be able to beat that defense. I think when you look at it, a lot of people say Kansas City's so talented, whatever game plan they have, they're going to be okay. And there is a part of me that does believe that. But when it gets down to the specific moments and the specific needs and that attention to detail, that's where I think Bruce Arians, Rich, or at least I hope so, is going to shut his mouth if number 12 comes to the sideline with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and says, Bruce, give me this. Bruce better give him that, because that guy has been there before and knows how to win these types of games.
Is Brady in Andy Reid's head at all?
That's a great question. I don't think so, because he got one last year. I think if this was, man, Andy Reid hasn't gotten one, it would have been, you know, like Buffalo would have done, right? I'm like, imagine Buffalo made the Super Bowl. They dealt with Tom Brady in his new home stadium. I mean, you talk about some real football PTSD right there. But I think because Reid got one last year, Rich, I think that's kind of gone and or past and gone now. And look, you know, in terms of the quarterback matchup, Andy Reid understands that this is his kind of Bill Walsh moment. Bill Walsh will always be connected to Joe Montana. And if they can find a way to get another one, especially here, Andy Reid is going to be connected to Patrick Mahomes, regardless of what Mahomes goes on and does with the rest of his career without Andy Reid. Because I don't know if Andy Reid is going to last as long as Patrick Mahomes might be able to play. That's an interesting question. But, you know, I keep going back to it, Rich. I look at Spagnuolo and Todd Bowles. And those are the guys that are really on the spot to find the way to generate that pressure against these two QBs without getting skewered. And it's going to be fascinating to see how creative they are in doing so.
Gresh, who's one player on each team that has to play well?
Ooh, boy, that's a really good question. I don't know the names that will be in there, but obviously both tackles for Kansas City because the starters in Fisher and Schwartz are out. So, you know, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, whomever it is, right, whomever's in there, don't care. Those guys have to really rise to the occasion. And, you know, that's where the third and longs are a killer, and it's an astute point that you made about first down being so important. And I know I mentioned it earlier, but I'm looking at those two interior defensive linemen for Tampa Bay. You know, at one point in time, Rich, Ndamukong Suh was the most feared defensive player in the NFL for good and bad reasons. Does that guy have 60 minutes of that dude in him? And quite honestly, you could probably narrow it down. Does he have 35 minutes at most of dominant football in him to control the middle of the line of scrimmage against Kansas City? If he does, that's going to stand out and go a long way to, I think, Tampa getting the win. And yes, that is who I'm picking. And yes, if you can find them at +3.5, grab that number because the hook is important.
Good Patriots fans. Now, I'm not talking bandwagon jumpers, but people have been there for a while. Do they cheer for Tom Brady?
In the end, hell yeah. Because it's I want to try to put this the right way and not get myself or anybody in trouble. It's like you're first. And they're always like, they're in the back of your mind. You know who it is. You can that's what this feels. I think for a lot of Patriots fans, you know, again, I got an 18-year-old kid, right? He's like been to 4 Super Bowls or something like that, and he's 18 years old. It's stupid, but that's all he knows. So even though Brady left, it's natural that you're going to root for him. And I think if you became a fan in part because of Tom Brady, yeah, I think you're rooting for him. And look, how amazing would it be if at 43 years old, this guy was able to just go out and play great and flip everyone the bird and be like, see, I told you so. I mean, this is cherries on top of an already Hall of Fame Sunday right now.
All right, Gresh, look, it's just us. It's Bangor Radio. I mean, no one's going to hear this. Give us the scoop. Where are you going?
I'm going to go downstairs to throw a hunk of meat on the Big Green Egg. Is exactly where I'm going right now. I got the fire rolling before I went down, and there's a hunk of wild beast that'll be ready around 8 o'clock or so for whatever sort of ridiculous, terrible NBA action is on. And that is the next move, my friend.
So you're not going to tell us what your next gig is.
Oh, well, actually, it's Sunday night on CBS Sports Radio after the Super Bowl, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Follow Mr. Gresh on Twitter. And when he's ready to tell the world, by God, you'll know, but we can't break him here. I don't have the skills to squeeze it out of him.
I once interviewed Drew Rosenhaus at the Super Bowl, and he was walking around with the Burger King. And that was my master's class on learning how to be evasive, because we were peppering him with football questions, and every one of them he brought back to a Burger King product. I was in awe. It was 3 minutes of just unbelievable burger gold.
Well, that's a lofty goal right there, is to match Drew Rosenhaus. Gresh, it's a highlight of our day. I hope wherever you land that, you know, you'll never be too big to come grace our airwaves every once in a while.
Hey, listen, friend, I'm just now happy I can be put back into the guests of downtown bracket again.
Well, you're in, and likely to be a high seed as always.
Oh, I'm sure I'll be something.
Gresh, we appreciate it as always. Hey, you enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll be in touch soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You guys are the best. Thanks a bunch, Rich. I appreciate you.
That's Andy Gresh with us on Downtown. Wherever he lands, he's going to take him by storm.